across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on a Tuesday morning, August 27th, 2024. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along. Greg Bach is in Waukesha. And we're joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot as well, who was just passed a note by Greg in all capital letters, giving Brittany way more power than I knew that she had when Greg wrote the following note to her.
Brittany, it's too hot. Do something. DJ Flint makes you our only hope.
Here's how bad it is. And I told Brittany we were going to talk about sweat, but not us. Corn sweat. Okay, a phrase I've never heard till yesterday. But now you can always tell when local TV news gets a hold of something new and shiny. Just Google up corn sweat. You won't see it in any newspapers. You won't see it in you know, a lot of journals or anything. But every local TV station's got a story about corn sweat, Brittany.
It's definitely going to ruin your Google search history, I bet you.
Let me guess. It's all about the fact that the corn fields make it a little bit more humid than the rest of the areas.
That's exactly it. Yep. And in fact, there was a...
You sound disappointed to figure it out.
Well, it's funny because I posted on Facebook yesterday the high temperatures and the feel like and how I think it was Bosco Bell hit 114 degree heat index.
Yeah.
And then right away, all the comments. Is it because of the cornfields?
Yeah. The process is known technically as evapotranspiration and is akin to how humans perspire in the heat, as corn, soybeans, and other crops release more moisture as the temperature climbs. So, yeah, the crops are a-sweating.
They sweat just like us.
Yep. And so that's why parts of the Midwest, you know, I saw La Crosse had a 110 degree heat index yesterday. And that, of course, was followed by some very loud thunder boomers that came through. They came through western Wisconsin about 10 o'clock last night. A couple of them ranked briefly on the severe scale, but not a lot to report here. But as I head over to the mailbag here from Rob, he says, good morning from Tigerton, cloudy and 67. Lots of thunder east of me towards Shawano. Got 1.25 inches of rain from the storms that went through around midnight by there. There was tree damage in the Clintonville area from last night's storms. It was 91 in Tigerton yesterday, the first 90-degree day since September 11th of last year. The heat index got up to 102 and no mowing yesterday. Good job, Rob.
Good.
And he says cornfields actually make the humidity go higher. So, yeah, there were places where the wind really did do a little bit of damage. Fortunately, not right here in our backyard, but there were places where it got to be pretty messy.
Yeah, even this morning, there's a lot of reports of trees still down, power outages. I think Eau Claire had a 63-mile-per-hour gust clocked. Hayward coming in at a 56-mile-per-hour wind, and a lot of those were through the overnight hours, and we've got another round still headed our way. In fact, right now, Eau Claire is in a severe thunderstorm warning for the fact of maybe 60-mile-per-hour winds.
You say that, and it's all true, but I'm looking out my window. I look directly to the south, and I'm like, okay, well, nothing yet, and I pulled up the radar just now, and it looks like it's right on the doorstep, so I have to lean back a little bit to look west.
There it is.
Oh, yeah, we're doomed.
All this, we got high winds coming through, a storm running through the heat index tomorrow. There'll be locusts, and on Friday, the lake will boil over.
Look, anything's possible. So, yeah, as I'm looking, strong storms from just south of Eau Claire, and then they kind of arc back through Spooner, Rice Lake, and then up closer to Hinckley, Minnesota, something like that. And it's moving along. It's going to get your attention.
Yes, it is. And a lot of northern Wisconsin today. Just expect a stormy day today. Then it could be severe. Still, hail and winds are the main risk. And of course, as we go through this afternoon, there will be parts of sunshine, but nothing major. It'll just be little pockets of it. Highs today down south, hitting the low 90s. The further north you live, mid 80s today. But there is still an excessive heat warning for the southern half of the state, where it's going to be feeling like 108. degrees once you put in that humidity. So another sweltering, sizzling kind of day out there. I didn't like it. You step outside, it is just muggy and overwhelming. We've got last day today for the southern part of the state, and we're all cooling off for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna see back to the 70s next week, potentially.
Yes, actually, Labor Day weekend looks very comfortable.
Very nice. And by the way, there's another smaller line stretching from Clintonville to Shawano up to Ocano. So folks are going to, including Rob and Tigerton, going to get a little bit more here. Rob adds now, please don't be Les Nessman on severe weather. I think he was taking a shot at me there now. And talking about learning about corn sweat from his dad and uncle on the farm. So yeah, it's a phenomenon that other people knew about.
What's it called again?
Corn sweat.
No. Thank you, Pat.
Evapotranspiration.
That's awesome. I love that word. I love that word.
Thank you, Brittany, very much.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Let's head over to the mailbag here as well. We talked about how hot it was that, you know, your glasses would actually fog up, you know, going outside. And Alicia writes in from Northeast Wisconsin, my son has observed that those of us who wear glasses all make the same face when they fog up. And she gives us an emoji that kind of explains it. And yes, it's exactly how we feel. She goes on further to reference our discussion last hour about former President Donald Trump shamefully using Arlington National Cemetery as a campaign prop yesterday, and noting that the use of veterans and the fallen as a prop for campaign clout simply needs to stop. Tony writes from Ashland on our discussion about Oasis, that they are a bigger band in Europe. And I know that they are quite popular over there. But as Greg just explained, there's reasons why dopey Americans like me need to be better tuned into them. And finally, in sports, from Roger, the Brewers have 32 games left, and the remaining schedule overall is fairly strong, including 7 with the Diamondbacks, 3 with the Phillies, and 3 with the Cardinals. Hopefully, we won't see a 9-22 collapse like 10 years ago. Roger goes on to add, BLTs are a good quick dinner.
Whatever. You're all wrong.
Greg no longer wants to fight about BLTs anymore.
No, I'm just tired of being right all the time.
Oh,
it tires me. I'm going to need a nap from all this correctness here. I just love being correct. So,
well, instead of politically correct, what are you? You're sandwich.
I am
sandwich correct.
I am eatably. No, that's wrong. That's dumb.
No, I don't like that.
I don't like that one at all. Yeah, okay. I like sandwichly. Nope, can't even say that one. Never mind. Goodbye.
Moving along. As for the Brewers, yes, they were off yesterday and they are home, but for a very quick 3-game series against the San Francisco Giants. First pitch tonight, 7:10 at American Family Field, pregame at 6:35 on Civic Media stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, though we are so proud to work with them on weekday mornings. But at Up North News, we have a daily newsletter that you can subscribe to at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. Stories today include how you can head out to pumpkin farms now, even if it's a little too early for the pumpkins, because of all the sunflowers, other flowers that are growing there, wagon rides, live music, and more. We also have a link to a past show where we discussed Project 2025 and its potential impact on ripping school lunches away from millions of American kids. So look for that at upnorthnewswi.com. There's a story in this morning's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Allison Durr and Dan Bice about how a Republican running for an assembly seat on the south side of Milwaukee is facing a criminal charge of making a false statement against his opponent when he was running for Milwaukee Common Council back in April. The complaint accuses Ryan Antzak of Milwaukee of knowingly making a false statement about the record of Alderperson Jocasta Zamarripa in a flyer that he continued to distribute even after acknowledging to the Journal Sentinel that one of the statements is false. Now, Antzak lost to Zamarripa by a nearly 2-1 margin, and he's now running for assembly in a district that is heavily Democratic as well. But that certainly doesn't excuse putting false statements into campaign literature when you know that they're false. Anchak declined to comment to the Journal Sentinel about the story. What it said in the complaint was that there was a flyer that he distributed that falsely said that Zamarripa, quote, actively fired former Milwaukee police chief Alfonso Morales. She can't fire anybody. It's the Milwaukee Fire and Police Commission that has the sole authority to do that. The commission made mistakes in ousting Morales, and it led the city to have to pay a settlement to the former chief of more than $600,000. Now, in an interview with the Journal Sentinel on March 29th, Anzac quickly acknowledged the statement's inaccuracy. That is a mistake, he said. That is. But the criminal complaint says he continued to distribute the flyer based on witness accounts. The complaint says continuing to distribute the mailer after that acknowledgement demonstrates that Anzac knew the material was false and was continuing to publish false representations about knowing their falsehood. And it gets at to the point of, you know, what the First Amendment protects and what it does not protect. And we need to keep in mind that we think that all political speech appears to be fair game, especially in the age of Donald Trump. It seems like you can say anything. He's continuing to say things that are demonstrably false. I can think, for example, of the one about Democrats want babies killed after their birth, you know, post-birth abortion. It's not a thing. It's never been a thing. And for him to continue to do that is a lie. It's knowingly spreading a lie. And we just think, well, that's just Donald Trump, or that's just political speech. But there has to be a line in the sand someplace. And it seems that that line has something to do with a personal misrepresentation of your opponent's record, knowing that it's false, acknowledging publicly that it's false, and then continuing to distribute that piece of mail, that piece of door literature. It's right there in writing, and you're still handing it out. If we're not calling balls and strikes on something like that, then yes, there truly are no more rules left in politics. And we have to be better than that. It's not great. It's not a great look running criminal charges against somebody running for office, but it's also not great trying to tear down what remains of the dignity that's left in American politics. More after this. You're up north. We were noting in today's history lesson about how this song and others that Jackson Browne had as singles were recorded on this day back in 1977 in Maryland. 7:21 now at Up North News Radio, and as Brittany mentioned, sure enough, that severe thunderstorm is starting to roll right into Chippewa County here. I tell you this ahead of time, just in case, you know, power outage or something like that. So just, you know, forewarned is what? I don't even remember the expression anymore. Damn that turning 60.
Forewarned is five ready. What's up?
There we
I'm look, a guy I'll who knows that. Words. Transubstantiate corn sweat. All right.
There it is. I'm shaking my head. You're the one that's got to do 4 hours of this filling in for Jane all this week. But
I mean, we're having a honestly good time. And folks, just to let you know real quick, guess who will be on the show today at 10:30 on Matt and Aaron Air?
Wait, who?
Mr. Pat Kreitlow.
Get out of here. You can't afford him.
I know.
Have you ever seen his booking fees?
I paid him in BLTs. He's a sucker. Sucker.
He's fine. Oh, boy. I would show up for a good BLT. Yes, yeah. I absolutely would.
Noted. Right.
You had Angela Lang as your guest co-host yesterday.
Oh, my good gravy. Yes, it was wonderful. And she'll be on next week, Tuesday, I believe. Don't hold me to that. I've got... Yeah, Angela was our all-show guest host. We talked about a lot of great things. We talked about her work with Block. We talked about her work in the unions back in the day. Jen just, you know, talked about the stuff, you know, her DNC thoughts as well as, you know, her hot takes. And Angela has hot takes.
Oh, my gosh. I love her Twitter feed.
They're the hottest of takes, in my opinion.
Yes.
So,
yeah. But yeah. Because there's credibility behind it, as you just outlined in all of her experience, all that she's doing. It's one of those people where you're like, boy, wish you could be on the radio more. Yeah. But if she were, then she couldn't do all the other things that she does.
I completely agree.
So Tony in Ashland asks on YouTube, can he live up to the standard set by Angela Lang? He writes of Pat Kreitlow's appearance later today. The answer is, of course not. And Alicia writes in, Greg, it was an awesome show.
Thank you, Alicia. I appreciate that.
Do you have any other like guest co-hosts on with you for the rest of the week?
Or this week? I have Fancy Brian Kelly on the morning tomorrow. Oh, actually, no, I take that back. So tomorrow I have Esther Flones, who is a local drag queen, and she will be talking about drag culture, her drag bingo shows, as well as, you know, the GOP's. I feel like they've waned because they've gotten bored with it. But, you know, earlier this year, it was kind of unsafe to be a drag queen in this country. And she wants to talk about that as well. I got Fancy Brian Kelly on Thursday, and then Dan Schaefer on Friday will be stopping by as well. So it'll be really great. So it's been a good time.
You get all the best guests.
I mean, hey, you want them, you can have them. I can send them your way. I'm happy to share.
Oh trust me. Dan Schaefer, and I'm not criticizing him. He's got young kids. I was like, he's got a standing invite to come on the show. He's like, you're on 6 in the morning till 8 in the morning, right? And it's like, yep. And he's like, yeah, we'll record something one of these days.
Yeah.
And we have. We've done a couple of those with Dan. Always love to hear him doing things on some of the other Civic shows. And the recombobulation area is, you know, just must reading. So we need more subscribers to that.
Great modern journalism. It's just, he's so just, he's actually coming on the show today with a bit of an announcement. It'll be fun. He'll be on at 11:30 today. So if you want to stick around for that later, do that. But it's going to be a great week. And once again, I just want to thank Jane for trusting me with the show, allowing me to host these couple of weeks, and we're gonna have a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, his newsletter and his social media postings are a great way to stay on top of Wisconsin politics, as are the shows here on Civic Media, as is Up North News. In other words, there are many more options than what we used to have. When I'm talking mostly about local TV news, because that's pretty much the only option now, because, you know, local radio really went away for a while. You know, so much of it was music or satellites or right wing talk. And of course, local newspapers, especially in smaller communities, they've been going away. And so we need more of these options. There's a new service that's out there that's trying to give voters more of these options. But unfortunately, to me, they're just sticking with one option, the local TV news option. The story from the Associated Press says fans of politics have another way to keep track of what's happening in the most competitive states through a new service that collects and streams local newscasts. It's called Swing State Election News. It began operation yesterday. It streams, and streamers can choose from among 37 local TV stations in Atlanta, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And they are primarily local affiliates of CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox. These are the states that pollsters have concluded will most likely decide the presidential contest. The service is allowing people to test the old saying of, quote, all politics is local, by closely following how the campaigns are being waged there. The CEO of Zeem Media, Jack Perry, says, quote, nobody knows local politics better than the journalists in the local communities. Okay, this is where Pat is going to make some people angry, having worked in local TV news and in local radio news, and now in radio talk. This is not going to be the best avenue. I just outlined some outstanding choices, from independent journalists like Dan Schaefer to well-produced and informed talk programming like on Civic Media, Up North News, which comes right out and tells you from the beginning, we are a left of center, fact-based news outlet. Don't make us your only news source. You should have multiple news sources. We even see it in the comments on this very show here, is that Andrew in Maine and Tony and Ashlyn have been going back and forth in the comment section about, you know, making sure that you look at multiple sources. Andrew put a comment in, I wouldn't go this far. I work under the assumption that all political speech is false until proven true by at least three separate sources. He talks about appreciating the daily newsletter from Heather Cox Richardson, who includes links and everything else in there. You have Brian taking note that too many people in Southeast Wisconsin are listening to, you know, just one right-wing radio station and getting their news from there. Although he says many are beginning to realize that it is almost pure hate propaganda, and he hopes that the Fox Valley gets a better balance of stations. The fact of the matter is that if you're only getting your news about politics from 37 local TV stations in seven states, that's not going to be enough. There are far too many instances still where a local TV reporter will go out to an event and say in so many words to the politician, what is it you want to say? They're not asking probing questions. The quintessential example in this cycle is Congressman Derek Van Orden, who has been getting almost nothing but puff pieces every time he comes in and tours a dairy farm. And he's not getting asked about the dozens and dozens of hateful messages he's posting on social media. And in his new campaign commercial, does he take on any of that controversy? No. It's just a lot of footage from local TV stations of him petting calves in a barn as he walks past. And we deserve better coverage than that. More after this from Hans Breitenmoser. You're up north. Cranberries, not the cranberries, but cranberries, one of the topics we're going to be discussing here in a sec with Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. First, a reminder that you can stay up to date with the latest news in Wisconsin that's covered by Civic Media with a digest, civicmedia.us/email. You'll get top podcast hours of your favorite Civic Media programs, news and commentary from the Civic Media team, and learn what's going on across the entire statewide network right in your inbox each week. Again, civicmedia.us/email for the Civic Media Digest. And of course, at Up North News, you can follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County is going to talk to us about the cranberry harvest, the potential impact of a railroad strike in Canada. And then, of course, a VIP visit. I thought we were going to start with the VIP visit to Hans's farm, but Hans is going to be a little busy this morning working on last night's storm. It made a little noise out by you, Hans. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Pat. I don't know what it was by you guys, but we got real strong wind. And so we lost a big tree in our yard, and our neighbor across the road was actually chasing calves around her yard at midnight because some of ours got spooked and got loose. So we
oh no,
oh everybody's fine.
It never happens in nice weather. I know that Sherry, growing up on a dairy farm, has talked about again having to be out in the rain, and that's when you know something happens. Either somebody topples a fence or blows down or whatever, and there you are chasing livestock in the rain. Yep. Not my definition of a fun day.
No.
So appreciate you taking some time to visit with us before you got to go creating the next batch of firewood over there, I guess. But in happier news from the farm, you had a VIP come by the place, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah. Yep, we sure did. Senator Tammy Baldwin stopped by on her way to Farm Technology Days. So we got to visit with the senator, and that was an enjoyable visit, and I think a pretty informative one as well.
You know, it takes me back to she was first elected in 2012, and I'm sure there were concerns, like, you know, this Madison congresswoman, former legislator, you know, what's she going to be like as a U.S. senator? And, you know, having worked for her during her first few months in office, saw that immediately this was somebody that was going to pour herself right into the job of wanting to learn, you know, as much about Wisconsin and various industries as possible, you know, from farming to paper mills and timber to, you know, manufacturing, you name it. And it is really noteworthy how much she has been able to get done through the Senate Appropriations Committee with a subcommittee that is geared toward agriculture and the rural economy. This was, I'm guessing this was a well-informed stop. This wasn't just some drop-in where, you know, she didn't want to actually get her hands dirty.
No, I was impressed. I was really impressed. I mean, these things have to move fast because, of course, you know, Senator Baldwin's supposed to be in 16 places at once. But, we were able to spend probably about an hour here walking through the barn and talking about policy, you know. And that was, I was impressed by that because this could have been just a photo op kind of thing to have her picture taken with some cows in the background. But she took the time to talk about some policy. We had one-on-one time to talk about policy. She wasn't afraid to answer questions that the press and that local folks had about, you know, about rural economies and so forth. And I think she really gets it. I was pretty impressed.
Well, it really is a contrast with what I was just saying before the break, having watched, you know, 2 years of local news coverage of Derek Van Orden, who does these farm visits and has nothing of substance to say other than, well, we're gonna try to get a farm bill done, and hasn't been really asked, much less answering any tough questions about, you know, why Republicans in the House have done nothing in terms of a farm bill. And as we've discussed, Hans, this is not something that exists in the vacuum. The lack of an updated farm bill, I mean, it's worse than it's not like having no legislation at all, but it's so much ruined potential for how Congress could make life better for Wisconsin farmers.
Yeah, and I think that's lost on the general public because most people obviously don't tune into the farm bill. But you're right, it's one of those quiet things that is very, very impactful for both consumers and farmers, and really just the entire rural economy. It just has impact, and that those guys can't get it done is just bananas to me. It really is. But Senator Baldwin, like I say, she's very open-minded and very smart, and I think a quick study on these things. And also, I think most importantly, doesn't just focus on symptoms, but understands some of these larger issues like antitrust legislation and so forth that has to be dealt with in order to get those farm gate prices where they need to go.
Yeah. Well, we are looking ahead now to what Wisconsin farmers are going to be producing. And I picked cranberries this week just because there was a recent survey based on the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service's Crop Production Report. That's a mouthful. That now says Wisconsin cranberry growers are looking to harvest a crop of nearly 5 million barrels of cranberries. And that, of course, means that now you've got about 250 cranberry farms in Wisconsin producing more than 60% of the nation's supply. And Hans, I remember, I mean, we're going back 25, 30 years now, but I remember when every year it was kind of a race with Massachusetts as far as which state was going to be producing more cranberries than the other. And clearly at some point, Wisconsin producers said, hold my cranberry juice. And you know, suddenly it was Bogorama here. I don't know what else explains the big increase in production.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously that's a crop that we don't produce here on our farm, but boy, we're sure glad that the cranberry producers exist. They bring a lot of value to the state's economy. It's just another wonderful thing that Wisconsin produces a hell of a lot of.
You see its use highlighted more. We talked about how on Top Chef Wisconsin, one of the challenges was to, you know, make a dish with cranberries, not your traditional Thanksgiving meal. But yeah, Wisconsin's out here at 5 million barrels. Massachusetts, they said they're having a good year, but they're going to produce about 2 million barrels. Number three is New Jersey at half a million barrels, and Oregon about the same. And they're all saying it's going to be a good crop. And again, any time we have a crop that is doing well, it's going to go well for farmers, provided there's a market for them. And I guess that's always the big question, whether it's dairy, cranberries, you know, cash crops, and otherwise. It's, you know, it's one thing to talk about the growing conditions and the harvest, but now you got to have a place to sell them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that takes all the infrastructure. You mentioned rail earlier, and you know, that's just another piece of the puzzle. Everybody has to do their thing and you know, get along and make, and I think it comes down to everybody being able to get a little something out of the system. It has to be multi-sided from that standpoint.
Yeah. By the way, in terms of the economic impact of the tiny little cranberry in Wisconsin, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association told the Wisconsin State Farmer newspaper that cranberry production generates $1 billion in state economic impact and provides thousands of local jobs across Wisconsin. Obviously, we've done the same talking about dairy and other things. And one of the whole points of our biweekly visits here is to help people better appreciate the tremendous economic impact of farming across Wisconsin. But it does get us to that notion of the infrastructure. And I thought last week when we set this up, I feared, Hans, that we were going to be talking about a railroad strike in Canada that would have been crippling, well, not just to farmers in Wisconsin, but to, you know, manufacturers and consumers all around. It's kind of like the way we dodged a bullet, what was it, about a year ago with a potential railroad strike in the U.S. There's just so many components that make up, you know, the path from the farm to the table.
Absolutely. And the rail infrastructure is something that, again, public policy has a place to play. You know, I've heard very, very conservative people say that we should nationalize the railroad. And I think that might have some, you know, that might be something worth considering. I don't see how that could ever happen, but without that infrastructure that we rely on, and that we could rely on more if the infrastructure was better kept and less monopolized, it becomes, again, an avenue for whether it's, you know, raw materials or farm produce and crops and things to move where it needs to move efficiently and effectively. But that means everybody has to do well, right? The people who run those things and the people who work for them all have to be able to make a decent living.
Absolutely. And I was looking at the notes about the Canadian one. Well, I should back up a step. In the U.S., it was President Biden who stepped in and basically, you know, imposed a deal but allowed negotiations to continue. And in the interim, since that happened, railroad workers and their unions have continued to push for paid vacation time and paid sick days. The paid sick days was the really big sticking point. And I'm happy to report it took months more of negotiating, but by and large, the unions that were threatening to strike have since won paid sick days as part of, you know, the ongoing agreement to operate the rail lines. There are similar issues going on with Canada, where, again, the government has appointed an arbitrator who ended a lockout last week after only about 16 hours. But as a result, you know, those negotiations can now continue with both Canadian National and Canadian Pacific. But Hans, it just seems odd to me, and I know farmers don't get paid sick days. I understand that. But when I'm looking at other industries like railroads, it still baffles me that in the year 2024, we're still having fights about paid sick days and what railroad workers or workers anywhere have to do to keep their job and you know, under terrible circumstances, either through their illness or taking care of a family member.
Yeah. Well, again, Pat, it just comes down to the notion that you know, we need to make sure that everybody has a dignified situation as much as possible. That should be our goal, and making sure that people are taken care of, and especially, you know, if they work hard, they should be treated well. And, you know, when you look at again, it's a corporate profit kind of mentality that we measure our success in our economy by looking at what corporate profits were, rather than sometimes focusing on, you know, what people closer to the ground are getting out of their work in terms of financially and, you know, socially and so forth. Those are the things that we should measure versus just that almighty corporate, you know, dollar at the top.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's about so much more than shareholder price. For example, in this instance, we're talking about the railroad workers, but we could just as easily be talking about our ports. Recall, was it last year or the year before where levels on the Mississippi were so low that barges weren't able to necessarily, you know, either come to get crops or take crops to the marketplace. You've got the infrastructure work that Tammy Baldwin and others have been securing funding for at the Port of Milwaukee and Green Bay and Duluth Superior and more. And thankfully, we haven't really had truck drivers in the news recently. I recall in years gone by, there were talk of trucker strikes and things like that. It really just goes to show how interconnected all of this is and why we need this broader view of the value of farming and everything around it to our everyday life in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And I think the, you know, unfortunately, the knee jerk sometimes for farmers or small business people is to sort of grumble and say, well, I don't get a paid sick day or, you know, that type of attitude. But we shouldn't be in the business of pulling one another down. We should be in the business of lifting one another up. And I think when you've got, whether it's rail workers or truck drivers or what have you, able to, you know, have that sick day, able to be home with a sick child, you know, those types of things, that lifts everybody's up. Everybody's boat that lifts everyone up. So that's what we should be focused on, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Or as Tony posted on YouTube just now, it sounds like some kind of global supply chain or something. And yes, it does. We're all very reliant on that. And then it's a matter of how you deal with it. Hans Breitenmoser, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much. Good luck with all the cleanup, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Take care.
All right. Chad Holmes will join us next. You're up north. Well, that would be the sound that you would hear on just ahead of the Chad Holmes radio show, which will be happening about 15 minutes from now on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau area, or you can listen on the Civic Media app anywhere and catch Chad every day from 8 to 10. And while we wait to see if Chad is able to join us this morning, quick note here from Janet, who writes in on Facebook, thanks for mentioning Stevie Ray Vaughan and using his music for your bumper. That and so many other reasons got me hooked on Up North News. I so much appreciate your daily program. We need you to keep up your good work. Have a great day. Vote blue. Thank you very much, Janet, for such a nice comment. Stevie Ray Vaughan's Crossfire is the song that we play at the beginning and the end of our show. And it's not just because it's a killer song. But it's also, I do just like that whole message of being caught in the crossfire, that I think that that's a perfect metaphor for where we feel in our politics these days. And while you know that I'm, you know, definitely left of center, it's still left of center. We're, so many more of us are a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right of center than on the extremes. And I think we all feel caught up that way. And I think Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of captured that in that song. Maybe he didn't intend it to be a political song, but that's where we are, where we have this lovely show. Greg pushes the buttons. The song comes on. Chad Holmes pops up from Wausau and joins us now. Mr. Holmes, good morning.
I am such an idiot.
And good morning to you too, Chad.
Why do you not like BLTs too? What's the deal?
Hey.
I get in here and I, you know, it's like I'm always running around and it's like I tend to be a little tight when I get in for this appearance every week. I get on, I get up the email, I hit the link to come on here, and then it's not working. And I realize, well, I hit Monday's link. So then I go backwards and it gets me into this cycle where they ask me to reboot it.
Oh no!
This is just I just want to throw my computer against the wall.
No.
Wait, and I'm making you wait until, and I'm making you fill by telling Stevie Ray Vaughan stories, and I apologize for.
Oh no, I'm happy to do that. I was glad Janet put that comment up on Facebook to give us a reason to, because otherwise, Greg and I would have to fight about sandwiches again, and I don't want to fight with
you.
Greg
don't have to
anymore.
Fight with me. You're wrong, and I win. So that's it. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, Pat, I just accept the reality and accept your destiny.
Now, needless to say, Pat's not going to let this go because I got Chad today. I've got Todd tomorrow. I've got Luke on Thursday to, you know, to continue to run up the score.
Here's the thing, Pat, is you could talk to Chad, Todd, Luke, the Holy Ghost himself. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I think I got an ace in a hole here. What about Luke's opinion on BLTs? What if he likes them?
Everyone has their flaws.
I gotta say something right there. I mean, no matter what the opinion of myself and everybody else, you have to have a respect for somebody that says, I don't care if there's a million other people that disagree with me.
A million.
I'm sure right now there are at least 10 to 15 million people who disagree with me. At least.
And I got respect for you for standing on your beliefs. I think that's truly what makes America.
I think we're burying the lead here. We just found something where Greg does not defer to the very handsome, very capable Luke Mathers. We have found a chink in the armor, perhaps. So let us hope that this is the only thing.
Are you saying that I'm not incredibly handsome, or all balls are incredibly handsome? Or
I'm just saying that Greg knows.
Yeah,
you know,
Pat, you want to answer that question for Chad?
I mean, I come in here this time, I'm getting ready for my show, and I'm told that I'm not Luke Mathers.
Hey, he just called me an idiot. So whatever.
Wow. See, now this is how political slurs take place, where you take what was not said and turn it into something that was said, even though it was not said.
I'm going to hire that guy from Milwaukee to make me some flyers to hand out here in the. All right, I think we've run around that circle.
No. Greg had one more. He was reloading for one more.
I was just going to say, when Chad joined us, he said, I'm an idiot, and you responded with, what, you don't like BLTs too? Yeah.
I don't need BLTs, just so you know. So.
Oh, my goodness. Now there it goes. There it goes.
I'm not a BLT guy. So I thought
I had an ally, and away I go. What are you talking about on the show today, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, what am I talking about today on the show? Holy cow. You know, one thing I'm actually going to touch on, you know, sort of a lighter topic, is there is not a Badger game on Friday, even though everybody else says there is.
I was going to say, the schedule here says Badgers, Western Michigan, 8 o'clock Friday, Camp Randall.
There is not a Badger game this Friday, and there is not a Packer game next Friday.
Go on.
Because Friday night is for high school football, and if they decide if they're going to try to fit in their little games and kowtow to the major networks again for a little bit of cash, they are dead to me for these next 2 weeks.
Wow.
I love it when Chad gets spicy. It's like
I told my sports guy on Friday, I said, dead. D-E-D.
Wow. This is
dead.
All right.
So the Badgers will play at Camp Randall on Friday, but I will not have I'm not talking about it.
I
don't know who they're playing.
It was not something that came to my mind immediately, but I do 100% agree with you that college and the NFL have no business going on Friday nights. That is high school football night in America.
And it's getting worse because I had this. I bring back the oldies once in a while here, but back when the Badgers first played these games, I think it was during COVID, if I'm not mistaken, like 4 years ago. And it used to be, it was like once in a while Friday, but now every week there's college football on a Friday night, every single week. Fox, I think, has a game every Friday night. And now, and then next week, I mean, I can only imagine what Alba's going to say, because you know how much he hates Peacock, and that Packer game with a Peacock. Oh. That Packer game that is not happening is a Peacock game.
There are going to be so many angry people next Friday when they discover the Packer game is on Peacock. Yeah. And they're going to go to like their favorite, going to go to their favorite, you know, bar or restaurant, and they're not going to have it, so they're not going to be able to bring it up. And this is going to get ugly.
Love it. I hope that happens.
All right. The last word goes to Greg, who writes on YouTube. You guys are forgetting the best ingredient in a BLTA, however, the avocado.
It's a different sandwich, Greg. We've been over this.
Greg is very much against adding the fourth letter.
Yeah.
At that point, it's now a four-letter word.
It's a different thing.
I love how Greg decides, I am just going to slap that right
away. I love, and he has waited 2 weeks. You could tell he's been itching to do this, and I'm so glad we finally got this out of him. This has been very therapeutic.
Yeah. I'm glad I could help.
We're coming out friends the other side. Thank you, Chad. Have a great show. Greg will be back 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air.
And Pat will be there at 10:30.
And Pat will be there at 10:30. Got to set my alarm. Thanks again to today's guests, Hans Breitenmoser, for coming in as well. And thanks to you for joining us for Up North News Radio. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.